Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. Max Chadwick alongside Dalton Wassman here. Clearly not in the PFF studios right now for our national championship recap show. We are in our hotel in Atlanta, Georgia, in a conference room right now. A worker here at 1 o'clock in the morning is very kind to let us into this conference room. Obviously, the setup is not good at all, but we wanted to get you guys an instant reaction to Ohio State's 34-23 victory over Notre Dame. And Dalton, what a ball game it was that we saw there.
It was. You know, it looked like at halftime and a little bit after it was going to be a blowout, and then Notre Dame showed a lot of fight in the second half, got it down to a one-score game and really put some suspense in it. But now you mentioned it, a really good ball game at the end of it. And I think, you know, for parts of it, as dominant as some people thought Ohio State would be in this game, and then Notre Dame, again, keeping to their identity, they keep punching. Riley Leonard kept fighting all the way through to the end. We saw him gut it out at the very beginning with nine carries on the first drive. But, you know, at the end of the day, Ohio State proved they're the best team in the country through this whole playoff run, and they showed it again today.
Ohio State winning the national championship for the first time since 2014. In that 2014 season, it was the first year of the four-team college football playoff. And now they win the first year of the 12-team college football playoff. So we have initial grades to reveal to you guys right now. Now, I want to remind you guys, these will get reviewed, and there probably will be a lot of changes made to these grades. These are what we got for the initial grades, starting off with the Ohio State Buckeyes. Highest graded non-quarterback, and I emphasize non-quarterback right here, Quinshon Judkins with the 76th grade. Donovan Jackson, the left tackle now, playing with a 75.7 grade. Travion Henderson, another running back, 73.9. Jeremiah Smith, the superstar true freshman wide receiver, 72.8. Sonny Styles, one of the few players probably returning to Ohio State next year. We'll see what his decision is, but he has a 72.4 grade. How about this, Dalton? Will Howard with, I think, what, a career best? 90.5 grade, a career-high PFF grade for Will Howard in his final collegiate game in the national championship. Can't really pick a better time to have your best career game than Will Howard did right there. Let's go to Notre Dame with their highest grade players, starting off with Drake Bowen, the linebacker, with an 85.1 grade. Jaden Greathouse, the sophomore wide receiver, 81.6. Xavier Watts, the safety, 75.3. Jordan Clark, one of their other really talented secondary members, with a 73 grade. Emil Wagner, their right tackle, with a 70.6 grade. And Riley Leonard with a really solid day as well, the 78.8 grade. Dalton, for you, just maybe not set to tell a story, maybe not most impressive, just overall, let's go over this national title game. What really stood out to you?
I do have one stat to throw at you, and that's Ohio State in this game, a 0.377 EPA per play. That's their highest against any Power 4 team this season. Their only two games higher came against Marshall and, I believe, Western Michigan. Just a ridiculously good game plan put together by Chip Kelly. Will Howard, with you mentioned it, if it sticks like that, that'll be his first 90 grade of his career, the best grade of his career. He was just spectacular. It was a great game plan by Chip Kelly. He really dictated what Notre Dame wanted to do in coverage as opposed to the other way around. And we're so used to Notre Dame just sticking to their identity, right? The man coverage, and that was the big question. Are they going to adjust? Are they going to stick to their guns? What's it going to be? Well, they didn't really get to decide that. A lot of the looks that Chip Kelly gave, especially with the pre-snap formations, Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka lining up on the same side of the formation. I've told you before, it's as indefensible as anything in college football right now. And Kelly used it to dictate when Notre Dame was in zone coverage and when they were in man coverage. When they were apart, they were in man, and then he could find his matchups, especially on the inside. But I thought, just first and foremost, the most impressive part of the game for me, a masterful game plan from Chip Kelly from front to back all 60 minutes. And then when it finally came time to take the home run shot to Jeremiah Smith, he saw the Notre Dame blitz coming. He had the protection on, and one-on-one eventually, and we're going to see this a lot for the next probably 15 years, Jeremiah Smith is going to win those matchups. But Emeka Buka was great. You mentioned it. Will Howard was just spectacular.
He was unbelievable. Yeah, I want to shout out Chip Kelly like you just did right there. He was phenomenal, obviously. But also, it takes a quarterback to execute that game plan perfectly. Will Howard did that, and he was making multi-read throws out there as well. He was seeing the field beautifully in that game as well. Now, that final bomb to Jeremiah Smith, I know you didn't hate the defensive play call. Only reason why I kind of hated it was because they were bracketing Jeremiah Smith a lot in that game, a lot like Texas did, and they helped big. Really, he was quiet before that. The one time they play cover zero, and Jeremiah Smith is a one-on-one matchup, and it's not even Leonard Moore guarding him. Then you get the big bomb over the top. But I know you didn't hate the play call. Go into a little maybe why you didn't really despise the play call from Marcus Freeman like a lot of other people did.
I think on it, what was about 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12 there, somewhere in there, long distance. I think for me, one of the other themes with Will Howard's success was – Notre Dame got no pass rush, especially with four in this game. And even when they got the zone looks, and, you know, a lot of coaches would sit there and, okay, we're going to play, we're going to sit back, we're going to play zone, we're going to send four, and we're just going to take our chances with it. Well, didn't work all day either. Really, nothing worked in coverage for Notre Dame tonight, right? And you're talking about, you know, that's what I thought going into the play call was, you know what, just send them. Make him get rid of the football. And if they have to take the home run shot, which is something they didn't take a ton of in this game, Will Howard, I thought, really worked the intermediate parts of the field a lot better than, you know, taking the usual deep shots that we've been used to in this playoff run. I thought making him make a quick decision, and albeit a quick decision to Jeremiah Smith, which we're going to see several quarterbacks in the future do here because it's just the optimal matchup. I thought, yes, it was a gamble from Notre Dame, but I thought it was a worthy gamble considering when they set four, they just weren't getting home in this game. Yeah. And to have Will Howard standing back there for 5, 6, 7 seconds, I don't think would have worked because it didn't work the first 3.5 quarters, right? Why was it going to work now? And again, maybe you keep things in front of you. Maybe Ohio State makes it 4th and 3, or maybe they go for it. Maybe they punt it anyway. But I don't mind the gamble that Al Golden took there. Because honestly, from what they did the rest of the game, nothing was working on defense for Notre Dame anyway.
Yeah, I wonder – let's actually get pull it up right here. You have it on the iPad. What was Ohio State's pass blocking grade in this game against Notre Dame? It had to have been pretty high, right?
I know the left side of their offensive line especially, it was Donovan Jackson, I think, an 87.8 pass blocking grade, which is just ridiculous, again, when you think about – he's a guard playing left tackle, and he's been playing left tackle for all of 8 or 9 games. Just, you know, they did a really nice job for the most part in pass protection. It was a couple times late where had some breakdowns on the right side, but they were just terrific all night in pass protection.
87.8 from Donovan Jackson is stupid. That guy just continues to show how amazing he is making the transition from guard over left tackle.
As valuable, we talk about Jeremiah and Will Howard and everything else on this team, as valuable a piece to this run as you could possibly have. You just go to the team reports. You'll have to go to that. But
yeah,
as valuable a guy to this team as you could have, especially considering we came in, you can't get over it. They went into this playoff run with the offensive line as by far their biggest question. And I keep going back to the reason that I picked Tennessee to beat them in the very first round of this playoff was, okay, they don't have an offensive line. So you're just talking about.
I'm trying to work here.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Struggling with your iPad right now.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Okay.
You know, it's 67.1 pass blocking grade. You look at that. That's the second best game they've had since Josh Simmons got hurt.
Yeah.
And the best game was against Purdue. So it hardly counts, right? Like, yeah. So you're talking about on this stage against still one of the best defenses in the country, getting at least good enough pass protection. And that's all this team needed for the weapons to succeed, because there was a lot of games where they weren't getting that, especially down the stretch of the regular season. And Jackson, again, as valuable a piece as anybody on this team.
And shout out to Quinshon Judkins as well. Awesome game from him. You know, he really – I know Will Howard is the star of the show, obviously, and the Ohio State offensive line did a great job, and Jeremiah Smith is great, and all the receivers. But Quinshon Judkins, 11 carries for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was so hard to tackle. And a guy that – you know, has been through it sometimes this year. You know, there's been a lot of games where Judkins does not look like the one of the top running backs in America where we thought he would be going into the year. Well, he's saved his bet for last, just like Will Howard did as well. So 9.1 yards per carry, was breaking a ton of tackles along the way as well. Quinshon Judkins was massive for Ohio State in this victory.
He was, and I think you contrast that with the rushing performance or lack thereof that Notre Dame got. Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, who we've talked about as superstars all year, combined 7 carries for 16 yards. The only guy who could run the ball at all in this game was Riley Leonard. 9 carries on the very first drive, and it looked like he was already gassed after that. There was only so far Leonard was going to carry the run game. Now, obviously, put it together with his arm a little bit with Jaden Greathouse late in the game, and I thought Ohio State kind of got a little too arrogant on defense, a little too much man-to-man coverage, and Jaden Greathouse took advantage of those opportunities, and Leonard made some nice throws. But at the end of the day, if you're making Riley Leonard beat you with his arm, you're feeling pretty good about that, right? Mm-hmm. You just don't want that three-headed rushing monster to get on you and start leaning on you. So getting ahead of them, making Leonard beat him with his arm, and then Ohio State, we've talked about it. We talked about it during the preview. They're the best run defense in the country. They showed it again.
And listen, I understand the best run defense in the country, but the fact that Jeremiah Love only had 4 carries in this game, like, you got to let your best player try to be your best players. Now, of course, he is battling some injuries, and I wonder if that still is nagging him right now. That's probably a big reason for why he only had 4 carries in this game. But I would argue that Jeremiah Love is pretty easily the best offensive player Notre Dame has. And the fact that you only let him touch the ball, what, six times total in this game, and he combined for 8 yards total against Ohio State. One, great job by Ohio State to swarm to the football. Him and Jadarian Price, like I said, only combined for 16 rushing yards total. But I just if it's health reasons, then yeah, I understand that. But if not, I mean, only giving your star offensive player six total touches in a national title game, I don't love that at all.
Well, and he came into the game we saw earlier in the day. It was a game-time decision.
Yeah,
this injury clearly nagged him throughout this entire playoff run, and Riley Leonard bailed him out with his legs. And look, I think a big thing too, this was only the second game all year that – actually, no, that's wrong. Ohio State did have a turnover. They did have one turnover, the Emeka Ebuka fumble. So the only game where Notre Dame didn't force a turnover was actually the Northern Illinois game. But one turnover doesn't necessarily kill you. Obviously, Ebuka with a big lead fumbled the ball and, you know, gave Notre Dame a chance to score there. But I think Ohio State, they played a clean game. They stopped the run as well as you possibly could against a team like that. And they just controlled the game. And I think another part against a running team like that, and what we haven't seen from Notre Dame basically all season, is – they had to play from behind, right? At halftime, this was 21-7. At one point, it was 31-7.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep handing the ball off when you're down 31-7, right? And I think that's a big theme when you're talking about Notre Dame. It feels like constantly playing from ahead because that's how they have to play. They have to run the football. They don't win games with Riley Leonard's arm. Even in his good games, a lot of times this year, 160, 170 passing yards, he does enough, right? This was a game where he had to carry him. And look, honestly, in the second half, he tried to carry him. He tried his damnedest to carry him, and they just don't – they're not built like that. They're not built to come back from 21, 28, 31 to 7, right, especially when there's some questionable decisions along the way. And Ohio State just absolutely dominating their first four drives in this game, which is funny, though, that each team only had the ball three times in the first half, but Ohio State's first four drives were just – flawless. Yeah. There is nothing else you can say. But Chip Kelly, again, masterful game plan. Will Howard pitched a near-perfect game. And honestly, outside of a couple of plays where they didn't execute, because you're not going to execute 100% of the time, Ohio State was just – they were just too good on offense in this game. Just couldn't stop them.
And I hate to not credit the person who tweeted this out, because it's an incredible stat. But I think you showed it to me, where Notre Dame allowed three drives all year that went for 75 yards and then ended up in a touchdown. Ohio State had four drives on their first four drives with 75-plus yards and a touchdown. So they were just driving up and down the field, Notre Dame, and nobody did that all year against the Fighting Irish.
Everything that we've seen from Ohio State in these playoffs all came together. The defense hit just the absolute max level they could with all that NFL talent. Will Howard, of course, if that grade holds, that's the best game of his career. That was just the most in control I've seen him look. And he's looked in control throughout all four of these playoff games. You know, they ran the ball well with both backs. Pass protection was good enough, even though the O-line has been in shambles for 2 months. And Chip Kelly, I that's what I kept going back to. I told you, late in the first half and at halftime while we were there, I thought Chip Kelly was just masterful in this. I thought it was just an incredible game plan he put together, passing, you know, complementing the formations with the run game and creating space by, you know, moving the safeties back. This was, for as good as he's been all season, this was his absolute best. I could not believe how well Chip Kelly called this game.
And he's been great all year. I think this playoff run he's had, though, between the Tennessee game, the Oregon game, the Texas game, and now this game against Notre Dame, he has been unbelievable.
And what was missing for me in the regular season, we were at a couple of games. It felt like there were games when Ohio State took a quarter and a half to get to where they wanted to get to. And in all four of these playoff games, right from the jump, from the first drive, we're going to do what we want because we're better than you, and I have a plan to do it, and we're going to do it right from the first drive. And in all four of these playoff games, they were terrific, especially in the first half of these games. And when you fall behind this Ohio State team with that defense, with maybe 11 NFL players starting on that defense, good luck to you. Good luck trying to come back, because that's what we've seen is four of the best 12 teams in the country trying to claw back against Ohio State, and you just can't do it.
And two of the drives, only two drives for Ohio State in this game that did not end up in points. One of them was a fumble by Emeka Ebuka when they were driving down the field. The other one was when they punted in the second half as well, so in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, they were unbelievable in this game. First five drives of the game, they had 31 points at the end of their first five drives. So averaging over 6 points per drive in the first five drives.
That'll do it.
Incredible job by Chip Kelly on that one. Don, I think we need to talk about the very controversial field goal attempt Notre Dame had.
Well, it's the first of two things, because I believe, was it the drive right before that when they ran the fake punt and it felt almost extremely obvious? It wasn't the drive right before, but it was earlier too with the fake punt. in the third quarter, and it was extreme,
fourth and two,
extremely telegraphed to me. If you're going to go for it, just leave Riley Leonard out there, or punt the ball and hope you get a stop. Right?
Yeah, they huddled for a lot longer than normal punting teams do. Your run alert should be going off.
And I'm not saying, I mean, it should have worked. You know, the pass was right in the guy's chest and he dropped it too. It should have worked. But no, the field goal down 16, I just didn't. I don't understand. You have 9 minutes to go with your season on the line, and you're kicking a field goal when you're down 16. That does nothing for you. You play possessions, not points there. I mean, and I know that it's at the 10, it's fourth and goal at the 10, and it's a low likelihood, you know, that you're going to get it against Ohio State, but you have to do it, right? And I just don't. I don't know where I was shocked. I was beyond shocked.
So I was shocked when they put out the field goal team. Everyone was shocked after he missed it. I was like, I don't care.
I didn't care if he hit it or not. That was as shocking as a decision as I've seen made all year with the season on the line. And you think about the worst case scenario if it's incomplete and you went for it, A, the score is the same, and B, Ohio State has the ball at 10-yard line.
Yes.
I mean, look, you're coming back down 31-7. You got to go out swinging. And that was the one moment where they didn't go out swinging. And then they eventually made it a one-score game. It could have been even different with 9 minutes to go than it was later on.
And theoretically, if they score on that fourth and goal on a 9 and they get the 2-point conversion, Ohio State punted right after that. Then Notre Dame scored again and got the 2-point conversion. It would have been a tight game.
And even if they didn't get the 2-pointer, you're down 10 with 9 minutes left.
Yeah.
That's at least in the scope.
Yes.
You're down 16 having just made that decision, and you kind of lost some momentum. And they got the stop there. That's when they forced an Ohio State punt. But Ohio State burned 3.5 minutes there.
Yes.
That's successful in its own right when you're talking about just trying to milk out a championship game. It was start. There's confusing decisions, and then there's startling ones. I was shocked by the decision to kick a field goal there down 16.
Yeah. Well, listen, I still want to credit Notre Dame because, listen, there was a point in this game where we looked at each other and was like, this game's going to be over by halftime. It was 21-7, then ended up being 31-7 at one point. I was like, there is over. Notre Dame fought back.
They battled.
They fought back in this game and made it at one point, a one-score game in the fourth quarter, being down 31-23 after being down 31-7. So credit to Notre Dame, credit to Marcus Freeman and the culture they have there in South Bend for just fighting back when a lot of other people thought this game's over. There's no way Ohio State's going to lose this game. And there was a point in the fourth quarter where, like, man, Notre Dame might pull off the impossible.
They were one third down stop from getting the ball back, one score down. Yeah. I mean, that's when you're down 31-7, those are the opportunities you asked for. And then again, you know, you mentioned the zero blitz on the Jeremiah Smith bomb. I don't hate the defensive play call. I really don't. It's just, look, Will Howard was unconscious. Chip Kelly made the perfect call. And we're going to be talking about Jeremiah Smith for the next two decades. I mean, any special players make special plays in big moments, and that's exactly what he did.
And listen, Notre Dame is going to be right in the thick of it next year as well. According to our wins above average metric, 8 of their 15 most valuable players should be returning to school, including Jeremiah Love, including Leonard Moore, bunch of other guys.
That's too. Young offensive line coming back.
Steve Angeli is going to be probably the new quarterback there with Riley Leonard moving on to the NFL. So Notre Dame right now is 5th in our Way Too Early Top 25, which you can check out right now if you want to. Ohio State opened our Way Too Early Top 25 at number 3. Ohio State is losing a lot of talent, obviously, but they bring back Caleb Downs, they bring back Jeremiah Smith, and they bring back all the 5-star recruits they get every single year. So it's Ohio State's always going to be Ohio State, but it will be a brand new team from this year. But just wrapping up, Dolan, here, just an amazing story for Ohio State, I think, where – they had so many guys that could have declared for the NFL draft last year, and they said, "You know what? No, we're not going to lose. We're not going to go out by losing to Michigan. We're not going to do that. We're going to come back for another year. We're going to put off the millions of dollars." Now they did still make millions of dollars in NIL. I'm not denying that, but they decided to come back for another year when not a lot of people would have done that. Everyone pretty much came back, besides the ones that pretty much had to declare, like Marvin Harrison Jr. And they brought everyone back. They added Caleb Downs. They added Quinshon Judkins. Yes, but and Will Howard, of course. But just an amazing testament to Ryan Day, to them, to losing to Michigan again, losing to Oregon this year as well. Everyone, including us, thought they're not winning the Natty. There's no way this team has the mental fortitude to overcome that loss to Michigan and win the Natty. They banded together, and credit to Ryan Day as well, because everyone thought this guy was as good as gone at Ohio State after he lost to Michigan. Never let that faze him, and he won a national championship, and now obviously his job is very safe in Columbus right now.
And it's part of the reason that I like this 12-team playoff. I think that what we've seen and what we've gone through with this playoff is, look, the best team in the country won the national title.
Yeah.
Right? And I think they proved that. And some will debate Oregon. Look, Ohio State should have beat Oregon at Oregon the first time. Will Howard made a mistake. The clock ran out. They beat the crap out of them the second time, right? Mm-hmm. So they got their vengeance there. And I know the Michigan thing is what it is, and that's a whole separate issue, obviously. But I like this 12-team playoff because it doesn't force you into perfection. We're so used to in college football, well, a team has to be perfect to win the whole thing. It's not how it works at almost any other level of football. Now, sometimes, sure, you know, when you're talking about the lower levels in high school and stuff, teams can run the table because they just have that much more talent. And that's great. If there's a team that talented that in college football now can go 14-15-0, so be it. Okay, then they're the best team.
But that, it's like it's 17-0 now.
Yeah.
Now you're playing like a full NFL regular season, essentially.
Yeah, and I think there's a big part of football that is about that, and that really embodied both of these teams is, you know, you take one on the chin and you come back and you find out if your team is good enough to come back from that. That's to me, that's what it really is. Yes. And that's why I like this expanded playoff for two reasons. One, we get to see teams that have opportunities to at least get there, right? The Indianas and the Arizona States and the SMUs, right? And you know, whatever happened, people complained about the first round. Cool, they went and they lost. They lost to better teams, right? You know, and that's okay. If you lose to a better team in a one-game scenario, fine. But you also get teams like Ohio State and Notre Dame who, if we even still had a 4-team playoff, wouldn't have been here. And we never would have known what their full potential was, either one of them, right? Or any team, or even a team like an Arizona State who played Texas down to the wire in double overtime. And I just think the expanded playoff, you know, I don't think it devalues the regular season at all. I think it actually, to me, makes it more valuable because you can bounce back from things like that, right? You can bounce back from, you know, a one-point loss on the road to another top four team, and it doesn't end your season. If you're Penn State, right, you can bounce back from, you lost to Ohio State by 7. In past years, that would have ended their season right there. None of it would have mattered. So I don't want to hear that it devalues the regular season. I think it just adds more incentive to get back up from a loss, to take one on the chin. And I mean, how many stories this year did we cover that were fantastic stories where it was, okay, this team took one on the chin and they came back? I think about Ohio State. I think about Notre Dame, Penn State, even all the way down to teams like Colorado. We wouldn't have had a Colorado story because their season would have been done after the Nebraska game or maybe after the Kansas State game in week 7. This is so much better than the way it used to be to me. And I think, you know what? If we want to say Ohio State and Notre Dame are the two best teams in the country, I don't have any issue with that. They proved it on the field. You can talk about the road and the seating, and maybe there's things to tweak about the format, but an expanded playoff was always the way to go. And I do think at the end of the day, despite having two losses on paper, I think Ohio State was the best team in the country.
And when you expand the playoff, you let it be settled on the field and not in a committee boardroom like the one we're sitting in right now. Like, I don't know why we complain about that. So, yeah, credit
to
Ohio State.
And because of those losses, they had to go beat four really good football teams to get here.
Yeah.
It's not like they didn't have to earn it. I said it before. I thought they were going to lose to Tennessee.
Yeah.
I did. I thought they had enough issues because it wasn't just all the mental and the newspapers talking about them losing to Michigan. They had major on-field issues, offensively especially, and they overcame that, and they found a way with that 3 weeks of practice to really tweak it, and Chip Kelly found the groove with the team that he had. I think to be able to get that opportunity to do that means a lot, and they beat all of them, arguably Ohio State had arguably the toughest road possibly had. We kept saying they had the toughest first round matchup, they had the toughest second round matchup, they had the toughest semi matchup, and then they're in the final against a really good team. So they earned it. They absolutely earned it. They earned that trophy. They're the best team in the country, and it did. Football, it can take bumps to get where you want to go. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, that's the point. Can you take one on the chin and get back up and win all your games?
I think it makes a better story as well. Now, of course, we'll love to see an undefeated national champion at some point as well, and we could still get that, but I agree with you. I just think with how large the season is now, like now you're playing 17 games essentially, like you can't expect perfection from these teams really that much anymore. So credit to Ohio State for winning the national title. First time in a decade Ohio State's winning the national title. Also, I nailed my preseason pick as well. Two in a row. I got Michigan last year, got Ohio State this year. We'll see who I pick next year for the national championship. Want to remind you guys, our way too early top 25. Maybe a quick early look at who I might be picking next year is available right now if you guys want to watch it for the 2025 season. Want to thank you guys for watching all of our 2024 season coverage. We've got a lot more stuff coming. We're not going anywhere. A lot of NFL draft stuff coming up very, very soon. Obviously, a lot of stuff previewing the 2025 college football season coming up very soon. But it was an incredible year here on this channel. Honestly, we gained so many subscribers, and just wanted to thank all of you guys, honestly, because there was a point where nobody really thought maybe a show at PFF about college football would work, and you guys helped us prove that it can work at PFF. So I want to thank all of you guys for watching all season long. I promise Our setup will never be this bad ever again. We'll be back in studio for our next show coming out very soon. But again, I want to thank you guys and want to congratulate the Ohio State Buckeyes on winning the 2024 College Football National Championship.